Well, the appointed time has arrived. Call the meeting to order. Good morning and welcome, everyone. This is an open meeting of the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board on December 4th, 2008. We welcome those of you who have joined us today both in person and listening to the webcast of this meeting. Today, the board will consider a recommendation to adopt an amendment to the board's rule on the frequency of inspections as it applies to certain foreign registered public accounting firms and seek public comment on other proposals also related to the inspections of non-U.S. firms. Before we proceed, I will note for the record that all members are present at today's meeting. The first and only order of business before the board today is a recommendation that the board adopt an amendment to Rule 4003 and publish for public comment certain related proposals concerning the inspections of non-U.S. firms. I will now turn to the Director of our Office of International Affairs, Rhonda Schneer, and our Deputy General Counsel, Michael Stevenson, to present this recommendation. Rhonda and Michael.
Thank you, Chairman Olson. As you mentioned today, the staff are presenting recommendations concerning the inspection deadlines of certain non-U.S. firms, as well as a request for comment on certain proposed transparency measures and actions that the board might take in the event of non-cooperation by a registered firm. I'm going to begin by discussing the recommendations to defer the inspections of certain non-U.S. firms with deadlines in 2008 and 2009, and then turn the floor over to my colleague from the Office of General Counsel, Michael Stevenson, to discuss the technical rule amendments, the proposed transparency measures, and the possible actions in the event of non-cooperation by a firm on which the board is seeking comment. By way of background, the Sarbanes-Oxley Act charges the PCAOB with the oversight of public accounting firms that provide audit services to U.S. public companies, regardless of where the firms are domiciled. As of today, the board has completed over 900 inspections, including 123 inspections of non-U.S. firms located in 24 countries. The board's experience has shown, however, that inspections of non-U.S. firms raise special issues, such as potential legal obstacles or sovereignty concerns of some jurisdictions. In order to overcome such obstacles, the PCAOB has sought, where possible, to coordinate and cooperate with local oversight entities that also have regulatory authority over PCAOB-registered non-U.S. firms. Since the PCAOB was created, jurisdictions in many other parts of the world have developed their own auditor oversight systems or enhanced existing oversight systems. The PCAOB has established relationships with many, if not most, of these jurisdictions. By the end of 2008, two more jurisdictions will be added so that the PCAOB will have conducted inspections in 26 different countries. In six of these jurisdictions, the inspections will have been conducted jointly with local oversight authorities. The staff believes that both we and our colleagues in Canada, the United Kingdom, Australia, Korea, Singapore, and most recently Norway benefit from these arrangements, and we thank them for their cooperation. Establishing the necessary cooperative arrangements to conduct joint inspections, however, can take substantial time and effort. The effort typically involves negotiating the principles of an arrangement for cooperation consistent with the inspection obligation that the Act imposes on the board. It also involves the board gaining a detailed understanding of the other jurisdiction's auditor oversight system in order for the board to determine the degree of reliance it is willing to place on inspection work performed under that system in a particular inspection year. If the inspection work is going to be done jointly with a non-U.S. auditor oversight entity, additional effort is involved in coordinating the schedule of specific inspections. Several of the non-U.S. audit oversight entities proceed according to inspection frequency requirements, which differ from the PCAOB's. Let me turn now to the situation with regard to a small number of firms with a 2008 deadline. In 2008, the board encountered for the first time obstacles that could not be resolved in enough time to conduct the inspections of 21 firms in 9 countries by the end of calendar year 2008 as required by Rule 4003. While the board has engaged in dialogue with the relevant authorities in each of the jurisdictions, the necessary cooperative arrangements could not be finalized in 7 jurisdictions in time to conduct inspections by the end of 2008. In some cases, this was due to the fact that the regulator had just recently started their own inspections programs. In other jurisdictions, local authorities have raised sovereignty concerns or potential legal conflicts, and efforts to resolve those issues are incomplete. In 2 of the jurisdictions, the PCAOB will have been able to conduct some, but not all of the required inspections due to conflicts between the inspection schedules of the PCOB and the Home Country Oversight Authority. While the board could make inspection demands directly on the firms located in these jurisdictions right away, without first establishing cooperative relationships, the staff believes that the purposes of the Act, the public interest, and the protection of investors are better served by delaying a first inspection to continue to work toward a cooperative resolution, rather than by precipitating legal disputes involving conflicts between U.S. and non-U.S. laws that could arise if the board sought to enforce compliance with its preferred schedule without regard to the concerns of the non-U.S. oversight authorities. The staff therefore recommends that the board amend Rule 4003 to permit the board to postpone the deadlines for inspecting these firms for 1 year. However, while the staff is recommending an extension of the deadline to permit the board to continue to work towards cooperation with authorities in those 9 jurisdictions, the staff does not recommend that the board do so indefinitely or that the board make any further adjustment to the inspection requirement for firms with a 2008 deadline. Although the staff recognizes that some non-U.S. firms may be reluctant to comply with PCOB inspection demands because of a concern that doing so might violate local law, staff recommends that the board make inspection demands on the firms early enough to allow the board to conduct the inspections by the end of calendar year 2009. Looking ahead to firms with inspection deadlines in 2009, as opposed to these firms in 2008, the staff believes that the board will face a similar problem. Due to the operation of PCOB rules and the initial registration deadline for non-U.S. firms, more first inspections of non-U.S. firms become due by the end of 2009 than in any other year. In addition to the 21 firms with 2008 deadlines that will have to be conducted in 2009, there are 70 non-U.S. firms due for first inspections by the end of 2009. This is in addition to 16 second inspections of non-U.S. firms that are also due by the end of 2009. Of the 70 non-U.S. firms due, 50 are in 24 new countries where the PCOB will not have conducted any inspections by the end of 2008, and where the PCOB would seek first to establish cooperative relationships with the local authorities. Many of the 24 new jurisdictions are currently establishing or just beginning to operate audit oversight authorities. In light of the effort and time required to put in place cooperative arrangements and to evaluate for purposes of PCOB Rule 4012 newly established oversight systems, the staff has concerns about proceeding as if that work can be completed in all of the new jurisdictions in time to conduct all of the required inspections by the end of 2009. Staff believes that additional time may be necessary to conduct at least some of the 50 first inspections due in these new jurisdictions in 2009. Thus, taking into account the need to satisfy the Act's inspection requirements, as well as the potential difficulties faced by the Board if it proceeds without first establishing cooperative relationships, the staff recommends that the Board seek public comment on a proposed amendment to Rule 4003, which would allow the Board to defer for up to 3 years the first inspection of any non-U.S. firm that the Board is currently required to conduct by the end of 2009, and that is in a jurisdiction where the Board has not conducted an inspection before 2009. Staff believes that such an amendment would allow the board appropriate time to reasonably pursue cooperative arrangements with jurisdictions in which the board may otherwise face substantial obstacles to completing its inspections program. Let me clarify a few points about the recommended proposed amendment. First, the extension would apply to only a narrow universe of firms. It would permit delaying only the first inspections of firms with a current 2009 inspection deadline, and only if those firms are in jurisdictions where the PCOB has not previously conducted inspections. This would not apply to any second inspections, to any firms with current deadlines other than in 2009, or to firms in countries where the PCOB has previously conducted inspections. Moreover, I should stress that under the proposed amendment, the board would not delay the inspections of all 50 of the firms eligible for the extension, and the proposed rule would also not entitle any firm to an extension of time. Rather, the proposed amendment would give the board discretion to defer for up to 3 years deadlines for some of the relevant inspections. Thus, the recommended proposed amendment should not be understood as a reprieve that allows all the affected firms to view 2012 as their deadline for PCOB inspections. Rather, the staff recommends that the board set a schedule now for inspections for the period 2009-2012 for the 50 affected firms. and considering how to allocate the inspections over that period of time without unduly delaying inspections of firms whose audit work has the broadest impact on U.S. investors. The staff recommends that the board look to the total U.S. market capitalization of the firm's issuer audit clients as a reasonable and perhaps the most readily measurable indicator of the impact of a firm's audit work on U.S. investors. In determining such a schedule, the staff recommends that the board sequence the 50 inspections such that certain minimum thresholds related to market capitalization be satisfied in each of the years from 2009 to 2012. The staff recommends that the board begin by ranking the 50 firms according to their total U.S. market cap of the firm's issuer audit clients. Working from the top of the list of the highest U.S. market cap down, the board would distribute the inspection of the 50 firms over the period 2009 to 2012 in order to meet certain criteria. These criteria would include that by the end of 2009, the board would inspect firms whose combined market cap of their issuer clients constitute at least 35% of the aggregate U.S. market cap of the audit clients of all the 50 firms. By the end of 2010, the staff recommends that the board would inspect firms whose combined audit client U.S. market cap constitutes at least 90% of that aggregate. By the end of 2011, the board would have inspected firms whose combined U.S. market cap constitutes at least 99.9% of the aggregate. And finally, by the end of the third year of the extension, the board would inspect the remaining firms whose market cap constitutes 0.1%. Along with meeting these market capitalization thresholds, the staff recommends that the board also satisfy certain criteria concerning the number of those 50 firms that would be inspected in each year. Specifically, the staff recommends that the board conduct at least 4 of the 50 inspections in 2009, at least 11 in 2010, and at least 14 more in 2011. This is because the bulk of the market cap resides in a small number of firms. It is important to note that the staff's recommendation with regard to scheduling would not prevent an inspection from occurring earlier than called for by this schedule. Any inspection could be moved to an earlier year for a variety of reasons, such as the presence of risk factors in a particular audit engagement, synchronization of schedules with a local regulator for purposes of a joint inspection, or simply the opportunity to do an inspection earlier and the availability of resources to do so. In addition, the staff recommends that the board review updated market capitalization data on at least an annual basis and consider whether there have been any changes that warrant moving a particular inspection forward to an earlier year due to a change in the market cap of the firm's issuer audit clients. The staff believes that extending the deadline in this way for the limited subset of firms, using the criteria for scheduling that I've just described, would provide the appropriate time for the board to pursue cooperative arrangements with its non-U.S. counterparts while not unduly delaying inspections of firms with the broadest potential impact on U.S. investors. Indeed, the board has already established good working relationships with audit oversight authorities in the home jurisdictions of the firms whose audit issuer clients have the highest total market capitalization. Allowing a short delay of the first inspections of firms further down the list will provide the board with the necessary time to attempt to establish similar relationships with the remaining jurisdictions. I will now give the floor to my colleague Michael Stevenson to discuss the technical rule amendments and the request for comment on certain proposed transparency measures and the possible actions the board could take in the event of non-cooperation by a firm. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. I want to follow up on Rhonda's discussion by getting into the mechanics of what we're recommending that the board do today. And I'd like to begin with some brief background that's relevant to those mechanics. The Sarbanes-Oxley Act provides that the board must inspect at least once every 3 years each registered firm that regularly provides audit reports for 100 or fewer issuers. The Act also allows the board to adjust that schedule if the board finds that a different schedule is consistent with the purposes of the Act, the public interest, and the protection of investors. In addition, the board can only adjust that schedule by adopting a rule. And that means that the schedule adjustment also requires the approval of the SEC. The board initially adopted an inspection frequency rule, Rule 4003, that the SEC approved in 2004. The board has since adopted one schedule adjusting amendment to that rule, which the SEC approved in 2007. That adjustment applied to inspections of all firms, U.S. and non-U.S., that registered in 2003 and 2004. and it essentially provided for a one-year extension of the three-year requirement, which the board could apply one time to either a firm's first inspection or its second inspection, but not to both. And the purpose of that adjustment was just to facilitate the board's ability to allocate its inspection resources evenly from year to year and eliminate year-to-year fluctuations that would have resulted from being bound to repeating the same pattern of inspections as in the board's startup phase. For purposes of the discussion this morning, the relevant aspect of the board's current inspection frequency rule is this. If a firm issues an audit report for an issuer after registering with the PCAOB, the board must conduct the first inspection of that firm no later than the fourth calendar year following the year of the audit report, unless the firm registered after 2004, in which case the deadline is the third calendar year. What the staff is recommending this morning is that the board adopt an amendment that would effectively extend by 1 year the current 2008 deadline for 21 inspections of nine U.S. firms, and that the board propose for comment a separate amendment that would effectively extend the current 2009 deadline for 46 inspections of nine U.S. firms. The staff is recommending that, the board, with respect to the 2008 deadline, the staff is recommending that the board amend Rule 4003 by adding a new paragraph F that would extend that deadline. Inherent in that recommendation is a recommendation that the board find that that limited schedule adjustment is consistent with the purposes of the Act, the public interest, and the protection of investors, and in this case, that finding would be supported by reasoning that Rhonda has described. For reasons that Rhonda has also described, the staff is recommending that the board propose for public comment a new paragraph G for Rule 4003 that would apply with respect to the 2009 deadline. Proposed paragraph G would apply only to those 50 inspections that Rhonda discussed and would allow the board to conduct a portion of those inspections in each of the years from 2009 to 2012, sequenced and scheduled according to the criteria that the board would publicly announce, which Rhonda has also discussed. In addition, under the proposal relating to the 2009 amendment, the proposed paragraph G, the board would, no later than January of each year, from 2009 to 2012, and after providing advance notice to the authorities in the relevant jurisdictions, publicly announce all of the non-U.S. jurisdictions in which there are firms whose inspection the board will conduct in that year. This would not be limited to the jurisdictions relevant to the 50 inspections we've been discussing, but would include all non-U.S. jurisdictions in which the board planned to conduct any inspection that year. Once that announcement was made, the board would conduct inspections that year in each of those jurisdictions, unless the board made a subsequent public announcement explaining why that had changed with respect to a particular jurisdiction. Even apart from whether the board eventually adopts paragraph G, staff is also recommending that the board publish such an announcement regarding 2009 in January of 2009. That is, the staff recommends that in January 2009, the board announce the jurisdictions in which it plans to conduct inspections in 2009. That announcement would not, however, limit the board from adding inspections in other jurisdictions during that year. Because the staff is only recommending that the board propose this 2009 deadline adjustment, it's not necessary at this stage for the board to make a finding that proposed paragraph G would be consistent with the purposes of the Act, public interest, and the protection of investors. The staff recommends that the board consider that question in light of comments that the board may receive on the proposal, but in general we suggest that the same considerations that would support this finding with respect to the extension of the 2008 deadline would also support it with respect to proposed paragraph G concerning the 2009 deadline. I'd like to turn from the proposed rules to some other matters that the staff is recommending that the board seek public comment on. The first has to do with a possible practice of the board maintaining an up-to-date public list of registered firms that the board has not inspected, even though the firms have issued audit reports while registered, and the deadline for the board to conduct the first inspection of the firms under the currently effective frequency rule has passed. The thought behind this suggestion is that under the Act and existing board rules, the public and investors have an expectation about the time by which such a firm will have been inspected by the board, and that there may be value in providing public transparency where that inspection has not occurred by that time. It's important to understand that the practice described in the recommended release would not involve faulting the firm or suggesting that the firm has failed to cooperate or otherwise done anything wrong. The practice would simply be to advise the public when, for whatever reason, a firm has not been inspected, even though more than 4 years have passed since the end of the calendar year in which the firm first issued an audit report while registered. We suggest that the board seek public comment on the pros and cons of such a practice. Second, the release that the staff recommends you issue includes a discussion of the obligation of all registered firms to cooperate with PCAOB inspections. That obligation is rooted in the Sarbanes-Oxley Act and board rules, specifically Rule 4006. As discussed in the release, if the board makes inspection demands on firms in jurisdictions where cooperative arrangements have not been reached with local authorities, it is conceivable that a firm might take the position that it cannot comply with the PCAOB inspection demand for certain information because local law prohibits the firm from supplying that information. The release discusses the tension between that potential circumstance and the requirements of U.S. law. The release notes that firms choose to be registered with the board in order to engage in professional activity directly related to and affecting U.S. financial markets, and accordingly they become subject to the requirements of U.S. law. The release also notes that in considering whether to impose disciplinary sanctions in any case of non-cooperation with an inspection, the board must be sensitive to the legislative premise reflected in the Act, that cooperation with an inspection is a condition of a firm's continuing registration. The release also acknowledges, however, that non-U.S. legal restrictions and sovereignty concerns present considerations not present in other non-cooperation circumstances. The staff recommends that the board invite public comment generally on whether and how the fact of a non-U.S. legal restriction or sovereignty concern should be factored into the board's consideration of the appropriate sanction to impose for failing to cooperate with an inspection. Finally, and also related to the possibility of firms declining to cooperate because of local legal restrictions, the staff recommends that the board seek comment on the concept of a type of disclosure rule. Specifically, the release describes the outline of a rule that would require any auditor that issues an audit report to make certain disclosures in connection with that report, including whether that auditor has failed to provide information in response to a PCAOB inspection demand on the basis of non-U.S. legal restrictions or sovereignty concerns, and whether, in the auditor used the work of any other registered firm that has declined to provide information or documents in response to an inspection demand on that basis. As outlined in the release, if the auditor had used the work of such a registered firm, the disclosure rule could also require the auditor to disclose additional information, including such things as the identity of the other firm, the nature of the work performed by the other firm, any steps the principal auditor took to assure itself concerning the other firm's familiarity with relevant professional standards and ability to perform the work, any other procedures on which the principal auditor relies or to monitor or assess the other firm's performance of audit procedures, and a brief summary of any information available to the principal auditor about deficiencies in the other firm's performance of any such procedures in the two-year period preceding the date of the audit report. I want to emphasize that the staff is not now recommending that the board propose for comment a specific rule along these lines. Rather, the staff is recommending that the board seek comment on the concept of such a rule, with the understanding that we would not actually recommend that the board adopt any such rule without first proposing a more specific version for public comment. And with that, we'd be happy to address any questions you have.
Thank you, Rhonda and Michael. Are there any motions regarding this matter?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion.
And Mr. Galzer.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board adopt Rule 4003F, as recommended by the staff, instruct the staff to submit the rule to the Securities and Exchange Commission for approval pursuant to Section 107 of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, and further that the board publish proposed Rule 4003G and seek public comment on that rule proposal and on the related issues described in the release accompanying the rule for a period of 60 days.
Is there a second?
Second, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Dan and Bill. A motion has been made and seconded, so the question before the board is whether it will approve the motion and adopt the rule amendment and release for public comment the other proposals on the inspections of non-U.S. firms. Rhonda and Michael have provided a good overview of the package before the board today. Specifically, their recommendation is for the board to adopt an amendment to the inspection frequency requirements of Rule 4003 that will give the board the ability to postpone for up to 1 year certain inspections of foreign registered public accounting firms that the board is otherwise required to conduct before the end of 2008. The board also is seeking comment on a proposed second amendment to Rule 4003 that would give the board the ability to postpone for up to 3 years certain inspections of foreign registered public accounting firms that the board is otherwise required to conduct before the end of 2009. In addition, the board is seeking public comment on other actions the board could take to address circumstances where the PCAOB is delayed in completing or not able to complete inspections of non-U.S. firms. It is important that audit firms, regulators, investors, and issuers have a clear understanding of the board's actions to date. To assist, I'll briefly discuss the overall objectives of what these rules and proposed measures are meant to achieve and address concerns that may arise. I will first address the final rule and proposed rule that would defer for a limited time period some inspections currently due for inspection in 2008 or 2009. I will address three areas where the board's objectives may warrant an explanation. First and foremost, today's action is not a broad measure to delay PCAOB inspections. Let me be clear. Today's amendments would affect only a subset of first-time inspections. Beyond this subset, it would not affect inspection requirements concerning any other first inspections or any second or later inspections of non-U.S. firms. The need to delay certain first-time inspections is a result of the PCAOB's preferred and practical approach to undertaking inspections outside the United States. The approach appropriately emphasizes the need to coordinate and cooperate with local authorities. Accordingly, the board adopted a framework in 2004, setting forth how it would work cooperatively with its counterparts to the extent possible. I support this approach and continue to believe that it is in the long-term best interests of investors. The approach recognizes that a non-U.S. firm's local laws can present issues. Thus, the board seeks to work with its counterparts in an effort to resolve potential conflicts of law. The board has had success in this area, but such discussions can be challenging and time-consuming. At the same time, the board is required by the Sarbanes-Oxley Act to conduct inspections of registered firms, including non-U.S. firms, and our efforts today reflect our commitment to meet that mandate. Second, the board's action today reflects the need and advantage of allowing appropriate time for the PCAOB to work cooperatively with foreign regulators and is not a negative reflection on our efforts or those of our foreign counterparts. While not without challenges, I would say that our overall approach to non-U.S. inspections continues to be successful. To date, as Rhonda indicated, the PCAOB has conducted 123 inspections of non-U.S. registered firms located in approximately 24 jurisdictions. We have undertaken joint inspections with our counterparts where possible and performed PCAOB-only inspections where counterparts did not yet exist. The program continues to grow, as do our relationships with foreign audit oversight bodies. Forging productive relationships with home country audit regulators and coordinating non-U.S. inspections continues to be guiding principles for our inspection program. In fact, I've directed staff to reach out immediately to regulators in countries where firms could be affected by a deferral in order to coordinate the required inspections and synchronize inspection schedules to the extent possible. Third, these two rules should in no way be viewed as a resource allocation issue. While we will continue to expand our resources in this area, inspections have not been forestalled due to a staffing or other resource constraint. We can meet our inspection goals with our current and projected resources. The board also is seeking comment on whether it should publish the identity of firms that have not been inspected by the PCAOB within the time frame that investors could reasonably have inspected. I am particularly interested in comments on this possible action so that the board can fully appreciate the benefits that it might offer investors, as well as any unanticipated impact it could have on issuers or audit firms. Even providing for these one-time deferrals of 2008 and 2009 inspection deadlines, it is possible that some registered firms may express reservation with a required PCAOB inspection because of a concern that doing so might violate some aspect of their local law. Nonetheless, firms have been registered with the PCAOB. Nonetheless, firms that have registered with the PCAOB need to be aware of the board's statutory obligation and authority to conduct these inspections, and of the firm's obligation under the Sarbanes-Oxley Act and PCAOB rules to cooperate in the inspections. In instance where a firm refuses to comply with or unduly delays complying with the board's request for information, the board can impose various disciplinary and remedial sanctions, which Michael Stevenson has just outlined. Because a refusal to provide information based on non-U.S. legal restrictions involves unique circumstances, staff recommends that the board today seek public comment on how a conflict of law should be factored into the board's consideration of the appropriate sanction for the PCAOB to impose. I encourage careful consideration of this topic by commenters. I hope that it draws a wide range of comments as it involves a number of complex issues. Some will ask how today's action corresponds to the statement on full reliance proposed by the board last December. The answer is simple. They do not conflict. Today we are considering actions involving a discrete area of the PCAOB's non-U.S. inspection program. The full reliance proposal, where the PCAOB set forth proposed criteria on which it could consider relying to the fullest extent possible on the inspection work of a non-U.S. counterpart, is a separate initiative. The board continues to carefully consider the comments received on that proposal, including those received during its June roundtable on the subject, which communicated a wide array of views. I hope that we can be in a position to move forward toward a final statement early next year. The PCAOB is motivated to engage with its fellow audit regulators, and it will continue to do so. More than 880 non-U.S. firms are registered with the PCAOB, and currently about 250 of these firms are subject to a PCAOB inspection on a triennial basis. Since the creation of the PCAOB, we have reached out to regulators and governments in other countries to develop relationships with our counterparts in connection with those inspections. Building relationships with our counterparts, while not void of challenges, has worked well, and the PCAOB remains fully committed to working closely with our counterparts. The PCAOB is equally motivated to meet its statutory inspection mandate, and for this reason it is considering the recommendation before the board today. Before I conclude, I would like to thank Michael Stevenson, Rhonda Schneer, and Carl Callender, and their colleagues in the Office of General Counsel, Office of International Affairs, and the Division of Registration and Inspections for their careful and creative thinking through a series of challenging issues in order to bring this package before the board today. There were a number of complex issues and spirited opinions for staff to consider and address before reaching today's meetings, and I thank the staff for working through these issues in such a professional manner. Thank you, Rhonda, thank you, Michael, and thank you, Carl. I will now turn to my fellow board members for any discussion. And we can move left to right today. Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a statement also, and I'd like to ask the staff some questions to bring out some other points. The rules before the board today present one of the more difficult policy decisions we've faced in the nearly 6 years that the board has been operating. I support adopting the one-year deferral of certain 2008 inspections and proposing for comment the three-year deferral of certain 2009 inspections. However, the road to that conclusion to support these recommendations has not been an easy one for me. Section 104 of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act directs the board to inspect every registered firm that regularly provides audit reports on 100 or fewer SEC-registered companies once every 3 years. Section 106 makes clear that non-U.S. firms should be treated the same as U.S. firms in this respect and in other respects. By rule, the board has provided that the first inspection of a firm that registered in 2003 or 2004 need not occur for 4 years. Another rule provides that the 4 years doesn't begin to run until the year after the year in which a firm audit report is filed with the SEC. Under this regime, the latest year in which many non-U.S. firms that registered in 2004 must have their first inspections is 2009. Proposed Rule 4003G would extend that deadline from 2009 to 2012 for 50 firms in countries where we've not yet conducted an inspection. While the board has successfully inspected 123 non-U.S. firms in 24 countries, there are practical limits on our ability to rapidly increase the number of countries in which we perform inspections. Overseas inspections generally must be preceded by time-consuming discussions with the home country regulator. In addition, foreign inspections sometimes require the resolution of thorny issues under non-U.S. privacy and other laws. These factors, along with the desire to work cooperatively with our non-U.S. counterparts and to be respectful of the sovereignty of other nations, have understandably slowed the first cycle of foreign inspections. Nevertheless, I've been reluctant to support any proposal like Rule 4003G that could have the effect of delaying until 2012 the first inspection of firms that registered with the board in 2004 and have issued one and perhaps more than one audit reports that are filed with the SEC. The board was created to further the interest of U.S. investors in informative, accurate, and independent audit reports on the financial statements of companies that have SEC-registered securities. Lengthy deferrals of first inspections of non-U.S. firms seem to me to undermine what Congress sought to accomplish in creating the board and directing it to perform inspections according to a regular cycle. Despite these reservations, I've become persuaded that the three-year deferral in proposed Rule 4003G strikes an acceptable balance between the practical difficulties of laying the groundwork for inspections in multiple jurisdictions and the board's statutory mandate. I base that conclusion on four elements of the release we're considering today. First, the scheduling of the 50 deferred inspections would take the protection of U.S. investors into account. In 2009, the board would commit to inspecting at least four firms that together audit over 35% of the total market capitalization of all of the deferred firms. Market capitalization, while not a perfect measure, is relevant to the potential impact of these firms on U.S. investors. By the end of 2010, the percentage of deferred firm market cap audited that will have been inspected would climb to 90%. Second, in order to make the board's foreign inspection plans clear, we will publish at the beginning of each year a list of the countries in which inspections will be performed. Countries will not be deleted from that list without a public explanation. Third, the proposed 2009 deferral is accompanied by a proposal to publish a list naming every firm that has not been inspected despite the passage of 4 years since an audit report prepared by that firm was filed with the SEC. This list would afford investors transparency concerning cases in which they may be relying on audit reports of firms that have not been inspected according to the board's normal schedule. Fourth, The release invites comments on steps the board might take by rule when non-U.S. firms decline to cooperate in a board inspection. These include disclosure to investors in the firm's audit reports of the absence of an inspection, and similar disclosure in audit reports of other firms that use the non-inspected firm's work in their audits. Of course, the board would also consider taking enforcement action against non-cooperating foreign firms. Linking the proposed deferral with these measures is intended to address the interests of investors in U.S. securities, and I hope investors will comment on that approach. I recognize, however, that non-U.S. firms and regulators may be less than enthusiastic. My support of the release is not intended to suggest that I've lost interest in cooperating with other audit oversight bodies. On the contrary, I believe that in the long run, we will only be able to fully accomplish our mission if we work jointly and cooperatively with our counterparts. I view the proposed release as consistent with both that goal and with our obligation to conduct the statutorily required first inspections of audit firms based outside the United States. I want to conclude by noting that this release has not had an easy birth. Carl Callender, Rhonda Schneer, and Michael Stevenson have devoted much time, effort, and thought to the project. As the draftsman, Michael, in particular, has had to tolerate an even higher than usual number of board-level editors and critics, which he's done with his usual professionalism. I want to thank all three of you for your dedication and hard work. With that, there are several things I wanted to ask that I thought might just help to explain to people what we're doing here and bring out some points. First, I think it's already been explained that Rule 4003F, the one we're simply directly adopting today and sending to the SEC, would delay 21 inspections that are otherwise required or required under the existing rules to be conducted in 2008. Today is the 4th of December, so it seems unlikely that we could actually conduct those 21 inspections this year, regardless of what we do with our rules. It also, I won't say it seems unlikely, but perhaps there's a question as to whether the SEC is actually going to act on this rule before New Year's Eve comes around. What happens if they don't?
The short answer is the rule, any rule amendment doesn't take effect unless the SEC approves it. The particular rule amendment here, the way it's set up and worded, once it's effective, what it says is that the deadline for these inspections is 2009, not 2008. And as discussed, the plan is to conduct those inspections in 2009.
I guess obviously once we adopt the rule, then we're going to operate, we really have no choice but to operate as if it's controls our inspection schedule. There's not much more we can do in 2008 for these 21 inspections.
I think, as Rhonda has described, I think that's the case with respect to those inspections.
Well, maybe a related question then is the impact on the budget. I mean, the chairman made the point that these proposals aren't really driven by resource concerns, but the effect here is to move into 2009 21 inspections that would otherwise have had to have been conducted this year, and then to move out of 2009 some number of inspections, and potentially 50, although I guess not in practice actually that many, into later years. A week ago, we sat here and submitted a budget to the SEC. Was that based on these rules, or does that reflect these assumption that these rules would be adopted, or if it doesn't, how will the budget change?
The 2009 budget does not take into account the proposed rule changes being discussed today. Assuming the deferral proposals are adopted, we expect no changes to 2009 spending on inspections, since the resources available would be allocated to foreign firms that perform referral work associated with subsidiaries of U.S. companies and to the domestic large firm program. The inspections division would also have the option under this proposal to bring forward into 2009 the inspections of other non-U.S. report issuing firms that are not required until later years.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I understand what you said. The budget we've sent to the SEC and that they're considering now had in it resources, or was premised on the idea that we would actually inspect in 2009 all 50 of the firms that we're now deferring or could potentially be deferred to later years. But there's still plenty of work to do in the foreign inspection area, and so those resources, to the extent there are resources saved from the deferral, will simply be devoted into other areas of foreign inspection, like, for example, the referral work with foreign firms.
That would be one area where the resources would be reallocated, yes.
And let me ask you just touch briefly on something else that the chairman also commented on in his statement. I think there is a potential for people to wonder if there's some connection between these deferral rules and our full reliance proposal that we published earlier in the year and then had a roundtable on in June. I guess I'll ask the question this way. Are these deferral proposals meant to support or make it more likely that these first inspections, when they do occur, can be conducted as full reliance inspections?